if generates you, responses.
So I just do whatever's fun for me, but there are certainly people that will try to get certain kind of engagement. People love giving their opinions. So any kind of poll you can ask always enhances engagement. I don't do it for that reason because like, to be honest, I want less engagement a little bit on some things. But asking a poll definitely enhances your engagement because people love to give their opinion unsolicited. So certainly if you ask for it, they love voting.
I think that's the thing I'm most amazed at by social media is the desire and the willingness and the almost like, I don't know, if passion or addiction people have to giving their opinion.
Both.
It's just, yeah. I guess I need to do it more. I can't even give my opinion really in real life.
I'm the same as you. Like, we fight enough.
Stop.
On its own. I don't want to give my opinion. I'll say other people's opinion and like let everyone weigh in. But yeah, I'm like, what do you think? I'll adopt whatever you think.
Right. Let's see if you can convince me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People have good ideas. So we can, you know, take most of them and just steal them.
It's funny you say that because yes, they do. And when if I have an issue, I'll post it and I'll say, has anyone dealt with this before? Like people sent me tips on reducing my medical bills when I got this astronomical bill in the mail and it worked. It was like how to dispute it and things, or I'll ask questions. Like right now I have a sourdough starter that's struggling and I'll be like, can someone send me some tips? And they'll send me all the links. It is such a great resource that I love it.
And you're talking specifically about social media or TikTok in general?
That's on my Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's on my Instagram. But yeah, my whole social media, if I ask a question, people will say stuff and I'm like, wow, I never thought about it before. It's a great resource.
Okay, so that's awesome. We're here today with Paige Sparks. She is an employment lawyer. And unbelievable following, too, just on social media. Lots to talk about. I mean, you have just, let's just get some of that out there, but 1.5, 1.7 million followers?
Yeah, so last I checked, I had 1.7 million on TikTok, which is crazy. And then on Instagram, I'm at like 412,000. And then I haven't really kept good tabs on anywhere else right now because they're all still like YouTube and stuff. I don't have impressive numbers there. Well, but everywhere else so far.
I think, here's the deal. Like in preparation for meeting you in person, like everybody else in the planet, before they do anything, they're going to check the person out online in some way, shape, or form. So with you, I mean, I think it's the best I've seen. But if you want to hear specific examples of employment law and other types of law, but specifically employment law, without reading like full-blown cases.
Yeah.
You check out her TikTok page, just because our Instagram, whatever it is, and I mean, you have a crash course of like quick, to-the-point, precise examples on employment law, relevant and just recent. So best I've seen, I think.
Well, thank you.
I mean, really, seriously, as far as that goes, just like, here's the deal. It's like this. This is what just happened. This is the result. This is what you can do. This is what you shouldn't do.
That's so important to me, what you're saying, because I have ADHD. So if it bores me, I don't post it. I don't do it. So all my videos are like to the point. So thank you for appreciating that.
Absolutely. And you're just, you know, you're carrying on with what you're normally doing throughout the day. So people get to know you. They get to, but just really comes across instantly as genuine and authentic.
Good. I love that. Okay. One time someone online called me your best friend TikTok lawyer. They said it felt like you were FaceTiming me, and that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want that experience to be like.
I'm just going to get this out here, too. So it's Paige Sparks. She is an employment lawyer. Sparks Law Firm. Sparks-legal.com. Instagram @_PaigeSparks.
Yep.
And TikTok @LawyerPaige.
Yeah, that's how early I was to the TikTok game. I could get that name. I was like, yes.
Well, if your next follower is our mom, I guess, you know, you'll know where that came from.
She's welcome. That's so funny.
You know, just to piggyback on what Chris said, first introduced to you a number of years ago as you were entering the legal field, and immediately was impressed by your I'm going to say your courage, first of all.
I was going to say, you've seen the whole glow up, struggle bus.
Yeah, for sure. Courage, but I think one of the big challenges in legal communication is doing it concisely. And in order for you to post what you post and generate the ideas for that communication, you have to do it you have to at least spend some time in preparation narrowing the issues. And your ability to narrow the issues is incredible.
So sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's just like these are your rights video and it's employment law, usually hopefully I know that well enough that I can do that pretty quickly now, like a quick little video. But if it's something like a case like that, this is going to sound so bad, but I really struggled in law school with these issues, like separating the issue, separating the reason, you know, things like that. So I jokingly call it dumb it down, but that's just, it's not what I mean, like making it dumb, but making it understandable and digestible is what I had to do for myself. So then once I was like, okay, I'll just regurgitate it in a way I understood. And it really, everyone else was like, yes, that makes sense.
Yep.
And so then that's what I try to stick to, that kind of like, let's make it clear. Let's demystify our profession a little bit. And this is what's happening.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's afraid of lawyers billing by the hour. Paige can do it. Paige can say the topic and the brief advice in 30 seconds or less.
Well, I was going to say, that's funny you say that, because I'm a plaintiff attorney. So, yeah, I can't. My time is my money. That's so exactly I can do right. stuff super quickly.
That's right. She's not billing by the hour.
No, I'm paying myself.
That's right. Yeah. That's a good example. And I think about that, too. Like, with the numbers Chris rattled off, with respect to your followers, and I mentioned the word courageous, but it's also like a little bit of a sacrifice of your privacy.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it, well, and I kind of learned to, I was oversharing a lot because I'm a people pleaser, okay? So I'm like, give the people what they want. They want to know this. They want to know how I do this too. Not just legal things, but just like how I put my makeup on or something. And so I was doing everything everyone was asking me to do. And then I did kind of lose that privacy element. So I've kind of tried to stop doing that as much, just so I have a little bit of me time still. Because also you open yourself up for criticism on those things that you would never, but like the messages I get,
no matter what.
Yeah. You know, you're going to get them, but the stuff people message me, I'm like, what? Like literally yesterday, someone just messaged me that my moles look like a constellation, the Big Dipper. And I'm like, quit looking at my moles. Like, what the heck? It's just weird what people will message me to like. So yeah, it is a lot of or like they give you insecurities I didn't even know I had that social media has given me, because they'll be like, I got my teeth fixed. I got Invisalign because when I first started doing videos, they were a little crooked and everyone would comment on it. So yeah, you do sacrifice a little bit of your privacy for sure if you're going to put yourself out there.
I mean, are you in Bachelor Nation? Are you in Bachelor Nation?
I know a little bit about the information from it, but I don't watch shows or anything.
Okay.
I was just confined to the couch the other day because my daughter's home from college and she insisted, she goes, Dad, we watch this. This is like a party at school. We watch this every night. So I watch every week. So
you're in?
She goes, Dad, you saw History tonight.
That's so funny. Yeah, right.
She's right.
She's joking because every show is history. It's the best.
Right, right. Right.
Well, the reason I was bringing that up is because they were talking about that too, you know, like you'll just get social media attacked, like, and all of a sudden they're like crushed.
Oh, right.
Because all of a sudden there's, you know, how many millions of people.
Especially if it's weird stuff over and over again. I'm sure they get a lot of appearance things or like behavior or like, did you see Love is Blind? A lot of those people are getting, that's another one you should watch with your daughter.
Perfect.
That'll be good for over Easter.
Another good lesson.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of kickback like that too. And I'm like, at least mine isn't to that level and it's definitely less, but yeah, I could not be criticized constantly like that. It takes a toll.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Where did it start? Like, where did it come from? Just to be mean to everyone?
I don't know.
Well, yeah. How did you?
But you're
see,
just,
you're good at meeting minds. No. How did you, I mean, first of all, it's very natural for you. Like you said, the best friend vibe, once you get on there, it's very authentic, very genuine, and it's great information. But did you just, did you start on YouTube and do something? Or was it like, were you always like that as you were a kid growing up? Or was it just like, where did that mindset come from, really?
Yeah, so I always loved kind of like performing growing up. I did sports. I loved being in theater. I've always been the one to like put myself out there and overshare, like I was saying, forever. Like anyone who knows me before I even started all this stuff will be like, yeah, you were doing that when you were 14. Like I've just always been that way. But when the pandemic started, as a lawyer, as a plaintiff lawyer, I had a very low base salary. And so I would get commission on any business I brought in. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic started, everything shut down. You're not networking anymore. I'm not connecting with people because I like to pride myself on like who I knew, what cases I could bring in. And then it all stopped for a very long time. So after the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to download that TikTok thing everyone's talking about, see what that's about. And then I was quickly addicted to scrolling forever. And then I'm like, I wonder if I could make, because we can't solicit, right? But I wonder if I can make informational videos and become an authority on law and then get referrals that way. I'm like, well, I'll try. And it's so scary. Like, Pete, you know for sure, as a lawyer, we're so insecure of putting ourselves out there, especially with knowledge, because people are going to hate on you, they're going to shit on you, and they're going to be like, you're wrong.
Yes.
And so I was so nervous, and I got a lot of kickback from the legal community.
People, for sure. Well, you're not supposed to put it in layman's terms.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, they wanted to keep it, like, right. prestigious and mystical, but mystical. I got a lot of kickback, and I never say, hey, call me if this happens. I never solicit. I do the disclaimer, like, informational only, legal advice. It's literally the equivalent of a blog. And it's just my opinion, and, like, here's the legal information. And I got nasty grams, you guys, like emails from other lawyers in the state being like, we're going to report you. You're violating XYZ rules. One lawyer sent me a PowerPoint presentation on how I was violating the rules of advertising, which I wasn't advertising. I know, I'm not kidding. And I'm like, okay. So I just kept doing it because the best thing, I'm spite motivated. So if someone is like, you're not going to do it or you suck, then that's going to become my whole personality. So it did. And I made all these videos and they just took off. And I did on relatable topics. The key to going viral, if you're going to do informational videos, start there. People love learning information, especially if it's easy to consume. The next part is pick topics, answer your questions that they're asking. Not everyone wants to hear what I want to talk about all the time, but if I'm answering a question, they're not the only person with that question. Mm-hmm. So I would do a couple to get me started, and they were so bad. You guys, they were like, if you're hurt in a car accident, did you know you can sue them? Like, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just finding my legs, right? And then people would start asking me more specific questions. And you have to be careful that you're not giving legal advice, which I always say on there. But, like, someone will be like, what if you get fired after you use FMLA? I'd answer that question, and 500 other people had that question. They'd all watch it, share it to people it resonated with. So really the key for me was Q&A style. I just answered everyone's questions, and that's how it grew so fast.
And it's like, legally, this is what the law says.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it was not a lot of brain work on my end. Yeah. I would just say, these are the rights under the law. If this kind of situation happens, it could be this. Talk with a lawyer in your state. And that's in a nutshell what my videos are. Well,
it could be a ton of brain work and create tons of energy trying to come up with what to say and how to say it. But you came up with the solution on, like, I'm just going to have somebody else ask me a question and then answer it. But it seems, is it always relevant, like, recent information, or is it just a random question from somebody? Because it seems like there's always some relevant case that you're connecting
it
to.
Yeah, I'll try to. If people are asking me a lot of questions about, like, the P. Diddy case, I'll do a video on it. Mm. Or, like, if people are asking me a lot of questions about the whole Boeing fiasco, so I did a video on that, too. But, yeah, otherwise I just do questions and answers, which is important because I make videos because I like to and to help people. Mm-hmm. So my videos that are more specific aren't going to get a million views like the Boeing video will. But when you're not doing it for the views, you still get the payoff of, like, okay, I helped that person sue their employer and I'm glad they did, you know? So that's where a lot of people go wrong, which, like, candidly, so my boyfriend who's doing his videos, we're posting them and he's, I think, getting discouraged because some of the views are down. And I'm like, you got to get in that mindset of, like, you're doing it for you. You're enjoying doing it. Mm. And then you don't care about the views. And next thing you know, they skyrocket because you're making genuine content that's rewarding to you. So that's another key of, like, why I think my videos sometimes are a little different is I'm not performing for the algorithm. I'm doing what the audience wants and I'm answering their questions.
Yeah. And the content creation, you know, has been, as long as I've been practicing, you know, older attorneys have been encouraging content creation, which is really writing an article, right? Or writing a blog. You're doing it in 30 seconds. Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just you really hit it well. I can relate to all the things you're saying about just the apprehension to put yourself out there, especially as a lawyer.
I know it's scary. Yeah.
Yeah, and
I still get scared
but
when I do.
You're so good. You're so good. And I keep repeating this word, but concise and relatable. You know, and it's risky. You know, it's risky. I'm not saying it's risky in terms of what you are describing about competition. Not liking you.
Being vulnerable and open to criticism is really risky. Yeah. And so I go to a lot of therapy, full disclosure. that has helped me a lot. Most one of the things that I repeat to myself whenever people say things about my moles or something about my work or whatever is like the people that reach out and comment those things, the issue is with them. Normal, happy, healthy people don't comment and message mean things to each other. And usually it's projecting. So that's why I always try to remind myself. But it is really hard to be vulnerable. I mean, I still get kind of like cold feet about it sometimes if it's a topic I'm maybe not as confident about, or if I'm going to pop off against my opposing counsel and I know they're going to come yell at me for it, and I want to make sure I say everything correctly, you know?
Well, it doesn't. It's amazing how it comes off. I mean, I'm serious. If you listen to this, you need to check it out.
You got to
fake
it till you make it.
You need to check it out. But honestly, I feel like, and it's more than your feelings are usually right on, but the reason, it's like a common topic or a common theme that we talk about with a lot of people that we have on this show is the, like, you could tell you do the research and you do the work, then you're able to talk about it. I mean, you could just tell. And not only that, but you also explain that a lot of times in a lot of your videos where you're like, all right, I just did this, so you didn't have to, or I just did that, or I just experienced this.
But
you can speak on things that, you know, you have confidence because you read it.
I get confidence the more I do it. Like, you got to go out into your where you're uncomfortable. Go outside of your comfort zone, because if you're comfortable, you're not growing or doing it. So I'm always pushing myself to do that kind of thing in videos. The lawsuit you're talking about, I read this like 300 pages of lawsuit and discovery documents that was available online for a lawsuit. All these TikTok creators are suing each other. So I'm not going to lie, that one I did because that's what the people wanted. They're like, what does this mean? What are all these claims for? And I read all this stuff. They like it. It's kind of like, you'll be familiar with this. It's like, you know, your friend that likes to be able to call you and ask legal questions, Pete, where they'd be like, hey, is this illegal if I did this and this? That's literally all the TikTok is. It's people who want to be able to ask a quick question like that without paying any money for it. So like, once you're doing Q&A with that, I think, social media Q&A is way underutilized for lawyers, and it's it's very underutilized because if you can tap into that of like, hey, I have a quick question about this. Like, for example, in Missouri, we don't have anyone doing a lot of family law legal videos. That would skyrocket. That's an empty void that needs to be filled. Or even some of the estate planning stuff. You know how many questions I get where I'm like, I don't know, ask Pete, like literally every day. So if you could tap into being in that mindset of like, be that person that they call and ask their dumb free legal questions, then that's all I do on social media.
What you've created is the website section called facts, you're doing the facts that no one wants to, they want to know, but they don't want to take the time to navigate through the site. You're presenting the information to them based on what you've heard, you know, and we talk, the word you used, I love, is, you know, you become an authority on, and the topic can be very narrow, and it takes. So we, you know, even in the mortgage industry, we talk about whether there's something, you know, whether it's maybe a veteran's loan or something that's narrow, you know, we can talk about something. And I think this is a great, it's giving me great ideas just talking
good,
to her,
good.
You know.
That's my favorite. I love inspiring other people to make content like
and,
that.
And we've used these two words, Chris, in a lot of podcasts because I guess we've just had the good fortune of interviewing great people, but take action. She's another person that just takes action and
it
results.
Wait. Yeah. Yeah. You have to just put yourself out there, get over it. You have to be a little scared, and I'm scared every time I do something new all the time, every day. And you just got to keep doing it. But I have a list of topics tomorrow that I'd be like, here are questions people ask me about this stuff. That'd be great videos to fill that
void.
What
people?
Just on the internet, people ask me, or a lot of my family and friends be like, how do I set up a will? And I'm like, ask Pete about a trust, or you know what I mean? Those are topics, like, just Google your most basic questions if you don't have anyone asking you yet and start there.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start that account? Oh, during 2021?
During the pandemic. So I think it might have been like in the middle of like 2019 or in 2019.
All right. So then, have you seen, just because of your awareness out there, have you seen an uptick in your business since your presence has been out in the world that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, and in a variety of ways. One of the things that you had mentioned being the authority on, It's like this weird psychology thing where people will trust you if you talk like that and confidently mm-hmm. and you're talking on the topics. And I, of course, make sure everything's right so I don't get like sued or for malpractice or something. But it has also worked on my opposing counsel. They are freaked out. Like if I talk about the case facts just kind of generally in a video, it initiates them. Now they want a mediation because now they want to talk about confidential settlement. So we can't keep talking about these things. So having that platform, I definitely manipulate it for me.
It could be strategic.
Yes. I definitely manipulate it for me and my clients' benefit. Like I always, if you see a coffee video, it's me talking about the facts of a case and mediation's the next day. So it's the last day I can talk about it. You know what I mean?
That's pretty
good. So I'm a little medieval wicked bitch because I like money. And if you can be an authority on it, the psychology of it, you can definitely use that to your advantage.
Yeah, and you found a way to, as you described, found a way to help people and help yourself.
Yes.
You know, at the same
win,
time.
Win. We're all happy.
And,
yeah.
And it's just, this is a tool that's available to us now. You know, it's just like in the past, there was a tool and now we're in social media and people are just, they use it to put their vacation pictures, but they don't use it enough. I'm now thinking about the 1,000 different ways, which is really embarrassing to say I'm now thinking about, but
no.
it just triggers
ideas.
That's
another thing that's important, Pete. You have to be nice to yourself when you're going through this process. Not just you, right. Everybody who does content, we're our own worst critics. So like your first video is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be pretty. You just have to power through it. You'll eventually find your style or the way you like to do things. But that was also important for me is like, that's how you keep things in your drafts by accident if you're really critical of yourself. So make sure to be nice to yourself, anyone listening, if you decide to make content like that too.
Speaking of being nice to yourself, you talked about your boyfriend and competitions you guys have at, you know, and and he's kind of gotten into this a little too, right?
Yeah, he's been making content. His are usually funny. Like I'm recording him like trying to load his four-wheeler onto the truck, like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? So usually they're funny, but he also we also use it to settle our couple disputes, like our friendly couple disputes. So if we get into a little like disagreement on something,
see what the public thinks.
He starts going, he's like weaponized my own Instagram against me. He'll go, put a poll on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, we don't need to do that. And he'll be like, put the poll on. He's won almost all of them. I've won one and I felt like I won the presidential election. I posted afterward. I was like, thank you everyone for believing in me and voting. I don't even remember what the one I won was.
Contemporary intimacy. That's what we got right now.
Is that what that's called?
I think
so. No, he definitely likes to weaponize
that.
Can we hear one like story time and attorney misconduct or something like that?
On a poll?
No, just hear one of your TikToks so people know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
I got
okay.
One. I have one.
She worked there briefly. She left to start her own solo practice, which is not abnormal at all, but what she did when she left it. Before she resigned from her position, she deleted work product from her law firm laptop. She also deleted text messages on her law firm cell phone that she had been using to communicate with clients. When you leave a law firm...
Can I go up?
Oh, they do, and they bring it up.
They'll
email me about it. They get really mad when I talk about them, and I don't care because I don't talk about anything I'm not allowed to talk about. And it's usually like their bad conduct toward me.
It's about Taylor Swift.
You know that Taylor Swift quote that's like, if guys don't want me to write bad songs about them, they just shouldn't do bad things. I'm getting so tired of this kind of shit. I had a scheduling
it's
conference
so weird hearing my own
today
voice.
In one of my federal discrimination cases,
it, but it's
and
great.
The lawyer representing
this is
the company
the idea. You could just get a feel for it.
And regularly
so,
just goes,
anyways,
oh, they do.
But you know, it's great to hear it, but to see it is another thing, because she's just, you know, she's just talking to you in her sweatpants and just telling you, like, she's got her hair up and she's just telling you, here's what it is. It's like this came to me. I got to tell the world about it.
Yeah, I try to do things in the moment like that. I'm never going to, like, put a suit on and go. Sometimes I do it with a spray tan still marinating you guys, and I look really scary, and I'll be like, hey, these are your rights. And so it's kind of like, I don't care what I look like. They just want the knowledge. Like, they're not here to look at me.
Everybody's their own worst critic. We already know that. So that's the real big hang up. Like, it's never going to be just perfect. That's why nobody ever does it.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, well, I can see this see that. And it's just to get out there and do it. But I think what's amazing is, like, you know, just... And not everybody's cut out for it or whatever the case is. But the point is, is to take action. I mean, you got to take the first step. Like,
yeah, you got to start somewhere.
I don't even know the technology or how am I going to do this? Well, first of all, how amazing is it how easy everything is now?
That is true. I never would have probably started if it hadn't been so user-friendly and easy to edit a video on TikTok.
Oh, my gosh. And you have seen, not everybody does, but you've seen a very significant uptick in your, let's just call it revenue, just because of being a resource for people and making people aware of
their basic legal rights.
And their legal rights. Like, oh, well, that happened to me. I didn't even realize that was an issue.
We get a ton of leads, like flooded with leads, a lot, which they don't all pan out, of course. And most of them aren't even for our state, which is
funny. So who mans those?
So I have different lawyers in different states that I can connect people with. If, like, in California, if they have an issue, we connect them with someone there that can help. We're trying to find someone in every state to get them to. I was manning them myself up until like 2 months ago, until we hired a new employee, Dana, who helps with our intake process and kind of gets that information together. But yeah, I'm a kind of a control freak. So I was doing like everything still up until like a month ago.
And then you're doing hands-on legal work?
Yeah. Yep.
As well.
Still doing all my cases. We have a trial next week. We still have all of our cases and everything going like a normal law firm, which was kind of giving me like almost like split personalities because I was being insane. I was overworking myself trying to fill like wear these different hats. So I've definitely had to learn how to dial it back and be able to delegate some things, like I said, with hiring Dana. But it's been an adjustment for me to be able to like switch out of one mode to the other.
Are you in trial much?
Most of our cases resolve without having to go to trial, but we definitely have as of today, I have a lot of trials set. Yeah. We're not afraid of trial.
You know, I'm just thinking about some of the things we talked about before you sat down, because we're now talking about a lawyer handling cases in St. Louis primarily, probably, and doing extensive social media work. But, you know, you got here. Did you arrive here on a horse and your boyfriend has a four wheeler? I mean, we're talking about a girl who, you know, she's got a farm or has a family related farm. And so this stuff is all accessible.
Well, I'm glad you said that actually, because you have to have, if you want to make content, you have to have something to do with it. Gone are the days of the influencers that would just quit their job and buy things from Amazon and do Amazon hauls and Shein hauls. You know, that nobody wants to watch that anymore. That was when we were locked inside during the pandemic. So you have to have a career. Like, I was at a career fair for middle schoolers just for fun, you know, to kind of like talk about law. And I'm like, anyone want to be a lawyer? No, they all want to be influencers. And I was like, okay, of what? Or like, what are you going to do? They don't have no job, just influencers. And that's not a thing. You have to have those hobbies. You have to have your job. Like, I can never quit lawyering if I want to make content because I need something to talk about. You know, people don't like it if you don't have a job. So like, I'll never be able to step away from that fully. And I don't want to because those are for other reasons. Like, I get bored and then I get like, you know, to my projects.
Be an expert in something.
Yeah. Like, you need something to make content on. Nobody wants to see like the lavish lifestyle of someone who's unemployed that they're jealous of.
I thought that was just reality TV.
That's old school. Yeah. Nobody wants to watch that. They want to watch relatable someone else suffering at their 9-to-5.
What was the original like reality show?
Survivor?
Oh, well, that was probably the original.
I remember OG Survivor.
The one on MTV.
Real World?
Yeah, the Real World.
Oh, you know, I never saw that. I never really watched that.
Yeah, that was probably before your time.
Before I was allowed to watch MTV.
That was before I was alive, Chris.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed until I bought my own house.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch that show when it came out.
So
I forgot that existed. I know what you're talking about, though, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's decades ago.
But yeah, people like to watch like relatable things, like your job or your struggle.
Oh, and you don't know that you need it until you need it.
Yeah.
Or until you see it sometimes. But you had, okay, so I mean like, was there a certain video where you had like 5,000 followers and then all of a sudden had 250,000.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. So, yes and no. So, I grew pretty big, like, with, like, the first video. I was still in my, like, I'm scared phase, like, really scared. And my first video that got, like, 10,000 views, I was, like, almost shit my pants. I'm like, oh, my God, what if this could, like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't even know. And then, so that was my first exposure to it. And then I kind of steadily grew because I was doing the Q&A, again, not for the views. So I wasn't getting like viral spikes. I was getting a good, steady community growth, which is good, which is what you want. And so then after that, this is so funny. So I had like, I probably had like 200,000-ish. And we were getting ready to go out of town for like my birthday trip to New Orleans. I had a migraine for 10 hours, like puking and stuff. And before we left, I made a get ready with me video talking about just basic legal rights while I was doing my makeup. And it was like so simple. Like it was like, if you take FMLA, you can't be fired for using that. And then I'd put like the next thing on and then it was just like really fast. So anyway, I was sick. I was like unconscious for like 10 hours on the way down to New Orleans, sick, puking my brains out. And we get to the hotel and I'm laying in bed and I open my thing and I now have like 1.2 million followers. And I was like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
What'd you say?
How many were before it?
Like 200,000 maybe. Yeah, that was my biggest spike, which I'll tell you, going viral is not always good. You don't want those spikes because that community that I was like growing and we all knew each other and answered questions and talked and stuff before at the 200,000. Now we got this flood of outsiders, people who didn't know like the quorum, they didn't know the conduct, they didn't know. And so there was a big adjustment period I had to do where I was like, okay, we don't comment on my appearances here, we talk about the law or you know, things like that. So big growth actually is not what it's cracked up to be. Yeah, you have a lot of negative things if you grow that big that fast.
Not only that, but you know, it's not like I won the lottery. It's like you have a job. It's a path. It's a job. Like you still have to create the content.
Oh yeah, it's an extra job.
You have to manage the comments. You can't just put the content on and not manage any comments.
Yes,
you
that's hard.
You know, there's a lot of follow up to it. Now people are expecting content. Now you have that on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So it's not like, cool, I just made everything work. It's no, you're still working hours. It's a path that you chose that instead of wishing and waiting, you're going out and just creating like, and providing, and then you know, it's the more you give, the more you get. That whole mentality, but it's not like a free.
Thankfully, my law partner is really understanding because it's like around the clock work. Like you're saying, like I am getting better about it, but like I'll answer comments late into the night every night, or messages, or like because I'm like, oh, that could be a case if they're, you know. So she's really understanding about it's work. Like we consider it work. So I try to do like if I do a video, that's my like part of my regular work day. So I'm not working until 11 every night, you know, because then I was going crazy. So.
Right.
But she's thankfully very understanding and accommodating to that.
And you're not using sophisticated equipment.
Not at all. No. I use my phone. That's it. Yeah. My old iPhone 13.
And like a tripod.
Tripod? Nope, I just prop it up against my water bottle usually.
And there's no extra microphone or sound?
I just use my phone, and it's probably not the best sound quality, but it gets the job done, because I don't really care about like having the perfect content.
You won't do it. You'll have to get the mic'd up every time.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I just started trying to do a podcast with one of my buddies, and I did have to get a mic. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so bad with technology, and it doesn't work for me. So like, I love keeping things simple. Which is in all themes of my life. Like, my videos are simple. My content is simple. The most I'll do is when it got dark out after daylight savings, I put, like, a ring light up. Or, like, I stole my boyfriend's flashlight for his, when he works on cars. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to use this for my light. That's about the most sophisticated that I get.
That's pretty good. Well, I mean, also, too, I want to mention, and sorry for saying also, too, consecutively.
That's redundant beyond redundant.
I know. And people do it. And I recognized it in the past. And I was like,
no,
what
it's
the
conversational.
Hell?
I talk that way too.
Okay. Also. Thank you.
Like,
so
if
much.
You read a deposition transcript of mine, if you read one of my depositions, and I'll be like, okay, and then what happened? That's what I do. Because it's just conversational.
Thank you so much. For
and then what happened next?
It.
Yeah. You're like, ask a question and be like, so that was my other bad one. And I'd be like, so how do we get to here? That was my other connecting phrase I had to watch.
Can we make sure we talk about the things that you're probably going to tell us right when we stop recording? And it's always like the best stuff. So just consider that as we continue on. Sometimes we're done like, oh, and by the way.
I'll speak up if I think of something like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we've.
Yeah, so far I'm loving everything we're talking about.
We've done too many, and we did one, and the guy told us like the greatest stories.
He goes, "I got three great stories for you."
You're like, "Why did you wait until we finished, sir?"
And that was his introduction. "I got three great stories for you. You got time? Where have we been?"
You're like, "We were waiting for you to do that." That's like the famous last question when you're at a depot and you're taking one, and you're like, "Is there anything else you want to tell me?" That's when you get your juiciest stuff to be like, "Yeah, I did quit," or like, you know,
that's like a parent question. And that's all you want to tell me about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Samantha, my law partner, is very considerate. If we have someone who's like doing something or presenting something or like a law clerk coming, she'll be like, okay, is there anything? Oh, when we did OCI interviews, she goes, is there anything that you prepared for that you wanted us to ask about that we didn't? Just so you can show us what you know. And like, they love being able to, because that always happens.
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any podcasts or, you know, books or articles or whatever that you need to hear every day? You know, at a regular basis that inspire you or?
Yeah, there are two. One of them is my buddy Ryan's podcast called The Working Class, and it's kind of like you guys. Like, he interviews a wide variety of people to hear different experiences from the workforce. So I really like hearing different perspectives. Like, one time he interviewed a nurse, and it was so interesting to hear about their patient quotas and the stressors they're under, because I represent a lot of nurses, and it just kind of gave me a better understanding of the pressure that they're under. But the other one I really like is Michael Mogill. He does a podcast that's strictly geared toward attorneys, and it's like putting yourself out there, being scared, doing things like that. And sometimes it's like the hard love truth that you need to hear is more of his style. So I'll listen to that one periodically too. That one kind of gives me inspiration to be like, okay, I'm going to go out and throw myself out there. I like listening to his.
I appreciate hearing that. I'll have to check that out. I wrote down a note because in the last, I'm going to say 15 years, and that's just an estimate, the law has been a topic of much drama. In other words, you know, I'm going to just say Law and Order started it, right? And then now we have, you know, Suits and all the various Netflix shows. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll confess that at one point I was very attracted to that stuff. And
oh, sure. It's sexy. It's like the sexy practice of law.
Yeah. And really, it really, I guess, inspired me to some degree.
Perry Mason.
And then you get a little frustrated with it because it's not like that. And we can't make it into 1 hour, and it's, you know, it doesn't work this well.
It doesn't quite work like that.
But I'm going to distinguish that, the 1 hour show that achieves a resolution, from what you can do in 30 seconds. Okay. I think you've made the law, achievable is maybe not the right word, but reachable.
Yeah.
You know, like people can relate to it. And it's different from Law and Order because it's real. And I know you leave out the, you know, 18 months of litigation.
Right. Yeah.
But you do give people that don't know anything but are wondering if they should know something equipment, you know, to make a decision about where to pursue and where not to pursue.
Those are my favorite messages and comments I get. Well, people will email me and be like, I just want to let you know, they'll be like, I'm in Michigan. So obviously not my state. I can't help. And they'll be like, I'm in Michigan, but I just want to let you know, I hired a lawyer after I saw your video about XYZ in it. And I didn't know that was illegal. And so now I just got paid. Thank you. And I'm like, I'm like a sappy person. You guys, I'll literally be like, oh my God, I'm so glad that we're like crying. Like, I'm so glad we helped them. And that's really rewarding for me to be able to do that and just provide a resource. That's really all I aim to do, is to do that. But you know what? My biggest beef is with Suits. I have never seen that whole show. Everyone always wants me to do lawyer reactions to it. And I'm like, it is so not the accurate practice of law. So everyone thinks that we just do all this stuff and like have these awesome one-liners all the time. And that is not how it is. And so when we went to like a SLU undergrad class to speak to last week, I think that was the first thing I said. I was like, who here is going to law school because they think it's like Suits? And literally like 20 kids raised their hand. I'm like, it's not like Suits. That's don't so go good. Only for that reason, okay? Because it's like the CSI effect where they expect it to be like that. Or like our jury trials are harder now because they see shows like that. And they're like, well, where's the smoking gun? And there isn't always one. So I think that like I get the entertainment factor, but it's done like a disservice to the legal community as far as like that's the expectation now.
Oh, I know. They should make like a real boring show on legal that people can get the realistic
version
of it.
I'll put on my YouTube. Yeah, I'll be like, come to court with me. We're going to wait for 4 hours to talk for 5 minutes.
That's exactly right. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's if you're an employer or an employee, which is decent percentage of people. You should, I mean, literally, you could get just a quick synopsis of somebody. I mean, truly, I was driving from the Hill to Chesterfield. We're at Edgewood.
Edgewild, near the woods.
By the way. Great place.
Yeah,
great ambiance here. But I mean, I got a straight crash course. I'm serious. So,
check on legal
it out.
Videos.
Oh yeah,
Chris like, signed up for the bar
great.
Exam.
Oh, yeah. Good for you, Chris.
No, but I have six pending lawsuits.
I have some videos
now.
On taking your bar exam that you can watch if you did.
Oh, cool.
For your LSAT.
Yeah, I watched it. It's 10 minutes long. I'm done.
Yeah. Is your stuff searchable?
Oh yeah, so topics, you should be able to look it up. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you Google it, it should be able to pop up. If you look with the topics, you know, if you're doing on TikTok when you're scrolling videos, if there's a search bar at the top, I try to always make sure my video gets one of those. The algorithm assigns it automatically, so it's like kind of what it thinks you're talking about, and that's how you can see where your videos are landing. So most of mine will be like lawyer, law school, whatever, and so my things are generally searchable and they will come up that way.
Mm, okay, so you don't create. I'm not savvy on TikTok, so you don't create your own topics, I suppose, right? Like you don't write the topic.
You can make them like searchable by using hashtags. So I use the same hashtags for when I do. It'll be like law, legal, lawyers of TikTok, and okay. Then I'll add something if it's like a lawsuit. I'll do hashtag lawsuit. So you can add that to kind of help it. But it usually just it's kind of freaky. My understanding of the algorithm is it just reads what you're saying in the captions and like what words you're actually saying. It knows that with AI or whatever, and then it finds where it wants to be searchable.
That's crazy.
But does it?
Yeah.
And do you post the video on TikTok and then Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and then anywhere else?
Yeah. So I have different audiences in all of my platforms because they each like organically find me on each platforms. I don't have a lot of crossover of people who follow me on TikTok and then go to Instagram. I have organic communities for each one, which I'm trying to like fix that issue. But yes. So what I do is I record a video on TikTok and I screen record it before the end. So there's no watermark on it because Instagram won't push the video if it has another app's watermark.
Mm.
So once I screen record it on TikTok, I edit it just in my photos. And then I upload it as a, not a reel, as a post to Instagram. And then you're getting like basically kill two birds with one stone. You can post that on any app. So lately I've been posting on Instagram, LinkedIn, and I'm supposed to post on YouTube, but I always slack on that because like YouTube's like my,
I know.
My least favorite it's, child.
You got to go through like five different steps to get it
it's
on
a
there.
Pain in the ass. So yeah, that's a lot of work for me. By the time it's like a fifth time uploading it, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't need to go on YouTube. But I will say you get better content if you like people who like the snarky stuff or like weird random stuff on my Instagram because I'll post that on my stories. Mm. Like funny videos or like a lot of people ask for recommendation off the, like if they want to know what lipstick I was wearing that day, those are things that I post more of that on Instagram. I try to do that, but usually I try to repurpose it to every platform.
Hmm. So when you're not, you know, running an up and coming law firm,
that's all I do. What are you talking about?
And representing people and filming yourself, creating content, educating the world on legal topics. How are you spending your time?
You know, I don't have a lot of free time right now because that's pretty much all I do. I'm trying to work on that and cut back a little bit. I try to do calm things. So I've been really, I'm like addicted to walking my dog right now. And I'll walk her for like miles until her wheels fall off. So I really like doing that as my hobby right now. I like playing tennis if anyone will play with me, if I can find someone to. And then otherwise, I've just been like, not doing anything, like trying to just be on autopilot because it's so demanding and pulls me in so different directions sometimes. So usually on the weekends, like me and my boyfriend will go out to his farm and then I'll just be like, I'm just going to be a passenger princess all weekend. Right. I don't want to do anything. Or we'll just like burn leaves and do something stupid. That is just like, I really enjoy doing that where I don't have to think. I can just let my mind wander. And that's when I come up with the best ideas. Like if I walk my dog, I'll call Sam and be like, hey, I just got this great idea. So I try to do like calming things like that now. But I unfortunately can't, like, my horse is retired, so I don't even ride anymore. Like, I need to find a new hobby.
When you come up with, sorry, Pete, I just, real quick, when you come up with an idea, where do you put it? Do you call somebody? Do you write it down somewhere?
Oh, yes. So I have a really bad memory. I have a really bad short-term memory. So I have, like, 500 notes apps on my phone. Like, mm-hmm. If I show it to you, I just post, I type in here anything that comes to my mind so that I can remember later. I have people's different, like, let me try to find one.
What app
here.
Is that?
Here's
like Evernote
Spanish words
or something?
I'm trying to learn. No, these are just, or like, here's different topics I need to talk with her about. Or like, I gotcha. Put all my ideas yeah. in here. It's just the note app on my iPhone that I use. or like, mm-hmm. just different topics I categorize like that, because I can't remember anything, especially if I don't write it down. So that's where I'll put all my ideas. Or like if I wake up in the middle of the night and think of one, I'll write it in there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I did it last night.
I was intrigued to meet with you today because, you know, we've met a couple times, but very limited over the last several years. And I know you more maybe through TikTok.
That's so funny.
You know, and so when you said you use the phrase split personalities,
yeah.
and I was kind of trying to judge for myself.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. So
I mean, I think I'm probably the same, but maybe different in like, I don't know, the not only law stuff, I would hope. I don't know, but you tell me.
I think I'm gonna...
Everyone else says I'm exactly the same.
I think you're out? Pretty close to the same.
Really? Well, yeah. That's good, but I don't think I am.
I think there's some... there are some unique distinctions that I'll make, and just... I guess the primary one is...
That's so interesting to me.
The primary one is just... Even though you talk about your lipstick or, you know, what you're wearing sometimes, you're on your legal topics... I find you very, and I'm going to repeat the word, concise, to the point, and businesslike, you know, and I think you might.
Am I being like that now?
Hell no.
Okay,
no,
good,
you're
good.
I mean, you are, in a good way, you're concise, to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're businesslike to the extent it's necessary, but your personality comes through more here, and... I think you're, you know, it's a good thing to meet you in this environment, but I do think they're getting the real deal when they see you
on
TikTok.
Okay, I'll accept that. Like, yeah. You get a little extra if you meet me in person.
100%.
I'm like a person that thinks in parentheses, you know? I'm like, while I'm talking, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, it's this. Like, that's how I think.
Thinks in parentheses. What a phrase.
When you, in person, I can be that way a little more because I don't have to, like, edit it down and get under a minute, you know?
Is that the goal?
It depends on what you want. So if you're wanting to post on TikTok, algorithm once is always changing. For a while, they were pushing more long form content. But usually anything under a minute, I try to stay under if it's like a basic legal informational video. That's when people tend to scroll. Actually, they only listen to like the first 4 seconds of your video.
Wow.
So if you don't have a hook, they're already scrolling. So I have a very strict like formula I follow, which I'm happy to share too if you want to know. But I try to make everything pretty short, and it's like if they want to hear the whole thing, they do listen to the end. I try to make some engagement stuff at the end that's like, comment if you made it to the end and let me know what you think, you know, things like that. So
I do think it's your stuff's repeatable. I mean, like, it's almost like,
yeah, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, yeah. You know? Yeah. I like to work
change
smarter.
Change the words.
Work smarter, not harder.
Was that the
yeah.
formula? Were you so, just telling us the formula?
Yeah. Oh, so the formula, it's super easy. It's super easy.
Get your pens out.
For short form formula, you need your hook, which is the most important part because of the scroll issue, right? So if we don't get their interest within that first 4 seconds, they're scrolling. So we use a little psychology here that I want you to use you, the word you. So if you look through all my videos, especially my informational ones, I'll be like, if your boss did this, you might have a case. Or if you say you twice, that retains them even longer for twice in the first four words.
Wow.
So it's all,
good.
It's a science, it's a psychology. So you want your hook. And then your intro. So my videos are always like, if your boss did this, you might have a case. My name is Paige Sparks. I'm an employment lawyer. And here's what you might want to know. And then you do your info. You want to keep that to like 2 or 3 bullet points. Because honestly, you don't have to like...
It's so good.
You don't have to give the recipe for the full secret sauce. You just have to give them a little information so they'll do their own research or ask more questions or things like that. You don't have to have like a full legal brief in your video. And we don't want that. Like, it's too long. That's boring. And then afterward, you always want to have your call to action, which is like... Follow me to learn more about your rights at work, or let me know what other questions you have about this in the comments. It's literally that simple.
Right.
It's that simple, but also a job and time consuming.
It is but I can do that in my sleep now.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Because
I've been doing it for like 4 years of like sticking to my formula.
True.
I paid a lot of money to learn that formula too, by the way, and like how it works.
Well,
I did
you.
It.
Well, hey, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
It's
well,
good.
No, I don't mind giving it away because I want people to make videos. I think it's good if we all share our information and our knowledge and what we know. So I think people should make videos, but I got stuck around like 400,000 followers and I'm like, well, how's on Instagram? Like, how am I going to grow this? And I did a consulting And they were like, let's repurpose this. Let's do this formula. And literally overnight, I got instant results from that formula.
Who's they?
Justin Schumann. He's a really great content creator coach. Oh, okay. Love him. Gotcha. Yeah. He's actually really good for more of a pep talk, too, if you need to get over the fear factor part of it. Because he'll be like, shut the fuck up and just get out there. Like, right. we love brutal honesty. But he had the really good formula and kind of making it less random stuff and more curated to whatever content the audience is wanting.
How about live? Have you tried that?
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of live because it's just weird because you're not hearing anything and it's like you're talking to yourself and some people can comment in there, but it's always delayed. So it's like very weird. Like sometimes I will do live. I haven't done it in a long time because it's kind of, honestly, it's exhausting to try to be like, I feel like I'm like a host and my guests aren't speaking. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But sometimes I'll do that on TikTok. I haven't done it on other apps. I just don't like that one as much. That's actually more of like a cool party trick. If I'm hanging out with people I want to impress, I'll be like, do you want to go live on TikTok? And then like show something fun. Mm. Or if I'm seeing something fun, I'll do that. But one time can I tell you a quick story about TikTok live? So my boyfriend, trying to be a nice supportive boyfriend, I guess, was like trying to heckle me one time in my TikTok live comments. So one of our best friends, Megan, is a moderator of my TikTok comments. And she doesn't know he had like a random like user 1234 name. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't him. They barely knew each other. And so he started being like saying stupid shit in the comments, like take your top off or like being funny. And so she immediately muted him. And when you get muted, you can see everything still, but you can't contribute anymore. So later that night, and I didn't know this happened. So later that night he goes, why do you ignore me the whole time during your live? Like, are you embarrassed to me? Like, asking this question, like, why did you ignore me the whole time? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't see any of your comments. And I said, the only thing I can think of is that you got muted or blocked. Did you do something? And he's like, oh yeah, I did say this and this. And I'm like, okay, well, that's why she did it.
You don't even know you muted.
No, and I have no idea how to unmute him.
he's gone forever.
Still, yeah, he's goodbye.
Change
yeah.
your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was so funny because we were like, what the heck? So I don't do lives a lot anymore. But when I did, he did get muted.
Yeah, it feels like that could be open yourself up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's people that do that are like the ones that get sent money live and like that kind of thing. I don't want that. Like, that's not what I do. So live doesn't really serve a purpose for me anymore. It's just like people, if they're can get sent like a rose is like a dollar or something like that. And so people like that will do it on TikTok live. And that's just, I don't really like doing that. And I think, and then also if I'm doing that, it creates ethical issues. If I'm receiving money, what I'm talking about. So lives, I never talk about legal things really, because that was an issue. So it would be like me cooking and doing a live. And then one time, okay, I lived at this haunted farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere and I was doing a live. I was there by myself and I had it set up, and in the background, everyone kept freaking me out. They're like, you can see a ghost in the background. Like multiple people commenting this.
Why were you there by yourself?
Because I lived there at the time and it was haunted. And I had a roommate who wasn't there and I didn't know it was haunted when I moved in. And then she was gone one time and I was like, hey, have you ever thought,
supposed to be
like,
on the disclosures?
Well, you would think. And I was like, have you ever thought maybe this place is haunted? Because like weird things were happening. And I was just kind of trying to like soft break it to her because she never said anything. She goes, yeah, just don't look in the windows after dark. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
So it was a creepy house anyway. And people on the live were like, no, we can see something behind you. And then a reef fell off the wall, you guys. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing live anymore.
Yeah, that'll talk you out of it.
It freaked me out.
You might just move. The live part.
I did move. Yeah, I did move shortly after that.
Yeah, it wasn't all the live.
Did your boyfriend buy that house in Wentzville? When did he buy that?
Yeah, he owns his house in Wentzville. I don't know when he bought it. Okay. I don't know when he got it there, though, but we've been there for a few years. He's been there. Sometimes I'm there or not. I try to stick more, like, out more in the country, like Port Herman.
Are you in the market to buy a house?
Actually, we are. Yeah, he is actually looking, but it's so expensive right now. Like, it's just been insane, so we're kind of, like, probably like every other buyer that's like, I'll just wait, hope after the election, maybe
we'll
prices change
when
or something.
We get off the air, but with that part of it, Are you guys currently working with a real estate agent?
Yeah, his sister-in-law is a real estate agent, so that's something that they all deal with.
So I wonder, you know, with that lawsuit, I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but now
a little bit.
Do you know the way real estate used to work and still does, still can? It's minor details. It's basically the way that it can be disclosed is the seller's agent cannot specify an amount of commission that they're going to pay the buyer's agent on the MLS.
Which I wonder why, like, as a lay person, is that because the ones that were disclosing it were getting preferential treatment for sales, or why is that a rule?
All of them are not doing it. It was common practice. They say the reason I think the attorneys maybe dropped the ball a little bit, which is maybe the common consensus on the on the defense. But the thing was, the National Association of Realtors and the realtors were in collusion to keep the commissions high.
Which makes sense, because that's how the brokerages and things are getting paid. But we have similar rules as lawyers that we just have to disclose it if someone's going to be sharing, like, any part of the attorney right. fee or something.
It's always disclosed.
Yeah.
And now the way that it's happening is now, because that would always come out of the seller's commission.
I saw some criticisms online that people were mad, because you mentioned the lawyers. They were mad that there was a settlement and that they didn't let it go further to create actual case law. Well, I saw a lot of criticisms about that.
I was really surprised it settled so fast.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
it's expensive, obviously.
It changes things.
Well, maybe that's why.
A lot for a buyer. Because now, when looking for that house...
Yeah.
It doesn't have to change things. It could be normal. But the thing is, you don't know going into it, because you don't know what house you're going to buy. So you don't know whether the sellers are going to pay a commission to your real estate agent or not. So if they do, then great. It could be...
But you don't get to know that at all until, like, the sale?
Right. But you would make an agreement out with your showing a buyer's attorney.
Agent.
The agent.
Which, by the way, sounds like a nightmare. I would, like,
it's
the way someone
different.
Explained it to me is, like, now if I wanted to hire you to sell a house, that I have to sign a representation agreement or something basically with you, like, I'll pay you X amount if it's not paid. Is that what that is?
Yes.
That sounds like a nightmare.
I know.
Well, yeah. I don't want to do that.
So now in $10,000, I mean,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Yeah, that could be a lot.
So all of a sudden, you know, I'm gonna show you these houses, but if we find a house and we buy it and this person's not agreed to pay me anything, then you need to pay me $10,000, where it always used to be coming out of that other commission, which worked really well for buyers and sellers. Everybody was okay with it, and it was always disclosed to everyone. So I just think there's the way that it's presented in the media is several different ways. One way is, we just made everything much better for the home buyer. Now they could get these houses for cheaper because they don't have to pay.
No,
a certain
I think
commission.
Everything just became worse for the buyer.
Way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. I mean, we see it all the time, because we're like, okay, you have this amount of money, you can buy a house for this much. Well, now you have to add for a first time home buyer. Now
that would be a struggle.
Creative people will come up with a creative solution.
Yes,
exactly.
I will say we will persevere and overcome the fee situation.
That is what will happen. And, you know,
I want to say something like,
but it's still frustrating.
Are you, I'm thinking of the next TikTok, are you searching for a house and worried about the agency fee you might have to pay? I'm Peachy Nino, mortgage broker, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, love it. Perfect.
Okay,
it's close. We're going to record it after this podcast.
It's really close.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, I like that one.
So as you think about social media and your, you know, your quick research of that topic and then everything you're immersed in, two questions. One, what about, you know, obviously there's some positivity that's coming from it. You have some good relationships developed, and you have some negative relationships developed from social media.
Yes.
What's the general, since I haven't adopted it as a great tool yet, and you have a million people that are at least aware of what you put out there, like, what do you think of people that, in general, is it overwhelmingly positive, the people that are following stuff, or are you seeing some unusual parts of society, or tell me what's
both,
going
on? Both. A little bit of both. It depends on the video, the topic, and then also I love my, like, community of followers. They will defend me in the comments, which I love, so I don't even have to fight my own fights anymore. Yeah. And
people you never met love you.
Yes,
right?
And I love that they'll, like, fight for me and be like, don't talk about her eyebrows, or you know what I mean? Like, they just will stand up for me over stupid stuff. I love that. But you do get a little bit of everything. It depends on the topic. I'll tell you, the first time I ever got mega, mega backlash, which I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get disbarred. I don't know what to do. Like, you know how we just panic. So right. I was like, what the fuck? I made a video literally repeating an article. No ill intent, no malice behind it whatsoever. And I used the term reverse racism for a white person's race discrimination lawsuit. So I said reverse racism. Oh my God, flip the table. You would have thought I was, like, going to be canceled. And it was all just, like, men that were mad. They're like, it's not reverse, it's just racism. And I mean, like, crucifying me over this. And I'm like, I'm not diminishing you guys at all. I'm talking about your teeth. And so that was the first time I got really bad backlash, and it did really freak me out. Everything's freaky the first time it happens, you know? So I was like, oh my God, what's like, should I not do this anymore? Like, what's going on? And it's just kind of the cost of doing business, you know, jokingly, like, that's showbiz, baby.
Did
like,
your
you're
followers
gonna get some backlash.
Go up at that point?
Oh yeah. I got a lot more followers. Yeah. Controversy is good for growing followers. And, you know, there are some people that will do clickbait where they'll intentionally do that. I think that's very see-through and people don't like that.
Right.
But a little bit of a controversial topic is actually really good for engagement. Because if you get people arguing in your comments, your views go way, way up. So it's a little controversy is good and okay and kind of grows that. But that was the first time, like, I freaked out. Most of the time, people are nice. People are definitely meaner on Instagram and Facebook than they are on TikTok. People are nicer to me on TikTok.
Interesting.
And people on Instagram fight for me more in the comments.
I heard that, yeah, like, communities are much easier to establish. Like, TikTok's better at creating communities around your content.
I think so, yeah.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, but I don't post a lot on it. Like, my Facebook is more of it's all these things are my personal pages that kind of just blew up. So my Facebook still is, and it's public, but I don't post that much stuff. Facebook's kind of, like, outdated to me. Like, I don't like it as much anymore.
Well, speaking of outdated, the second part of my question is, any idea what the future platform is? Or?
No, I don't know. You know, a lot of people are asking that because of the proposed TikTok ban, because they won't do a buyout, they said. So I don't know what the transfer will be. I think, unfortunately, it's going to go to a lot of Meta things, which is bad if you are a creator wanting to be an influencer. Like, we don't get paid for any of the content on that if we're not running ads on videos. So, like, it's just bad. It's like it's like the NAR lawsuit. Like, this is good for the buyer. It's good for the, we're going to make you. No, it's not. Like, it literally is just not good for anybody, the consumer or the creator. So probably a lot will go back to there. I don't know any future platform that people have really talked up. There is one, though, that someone has already got my name and everything of that I can't remember right now because I did look at it. I can't remember. What was it? Like, Clapper or something? Someone told me to look at that. I don't know, but they have my names in that, so I don't want to do that one now.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm like, well, I took my username.
Interesting. Yeah, well, it's probably a good name to have if you're, if you beat you to the new platform.
Well, they try to scam people. Yeah, they'll take my picture and my name, and they'll set up fake consults. They get $250 a pop, and so I have warnings everywhere myself. I say, I will never ask you for money.
Dangerous,
I will never charge for a consult. Yeah, don't do this. And I, unfortunately, do get some emails of people who are mad at me because they paid $250 and then the, quote, me they thought was there went into the wind. And, like, one time it was even really elaborate because they sent me screenshots to show me, and it was, like, this black person FaceTiming them to show them that they were real and pay for the consult, and they were saying they were my cousin and that they would set them up with a consult. And so it's like, you know, a little bit of buyer beware. You need to use some, like, due diligence here to do your own research.
Some common sense,
but
right?
Yeah, there's people making, they make more money off consults than I do because I don't charge for consults. So I'm like, damn.
Another idea.
I know. Yeah. Don't scam me. Don't scam my people.
You know, really appreciate your time and kind of like just sharing a lot of your, I mean, they're not secrets anymore, but you've been, I'm just impressed. I've been so impressed with you over the years and way your mind works and your courage, like I said, and your ability to synthesize the issues. And you are, I know you're in a business, but you truly are doing a service to the community and people who have employment related and other issues. And obviously you did a service to everybody listening to this to give some of your some of your tips and strategies. So Paige Sparks with Sparks Law Firm, it's been a pleasure having you today.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun talking with you guys.
Thanks.